يا الله إني ناديتك وسعيت إني
Assalamu alaikum everyone, it's Halima Kagali and welcome to another episode of the Quran Lifestyle Show. So I get asked all the time, how much of the Qur'an should I aim to memorize? Well, we've spoken so far about the great position that Qur'an memorization has within Islam, right? We've spoken about the benefits you enjoy in both worlds. We mentioned how memorization as one aspect of our Qur'an relationship, how it can help to facilitate other important aspects like tadabbur and reflection and understanding, for example. So I'm sure you'll agree that it's definitely a journey that's clearly worth pursuing, right? But as for how much you should choose to memorize in your life right now, that's really a personal decision I think only you can make. But it's definitely one that I think you should try to gain some clarity on before you actually begin your journey. Now, I included this question in this course with a very good reason. Because I know that when this question of how much Quran should I memorize is, you know, typically posed to people, immediately their response is all of it, right? Because we often believe that this is the only worthy answer to such a question. And we've often been taught that, you know, that memorizing the full Quran is something that all Muslims should try to aspire to. Well, it's really important here that I clarify a common misconception, and that is that it's not actually compulsory for every single Muslim to memorize the entire Quran. Now, don't get me wrong. Memorizing as much as possible of the Quran is ideal, of course. And it's something that I don't doubt many of you people here joining me right now today, you know, you have this aspiration long term. You want to pursue this goal. I think if you just took a bit of time, though, to deeply contemplate, you might actually discover for yourself that right now, at this moment in your life, to set yourself a more specific goal of memorizing a couple of surahs, for example, so that you can perfect your salah, or so that you can teach your children something of the Quran, is actually a really inspirational goal that you could feel massively would benefit you and your family right now. And I want you to know that this goal is awesome. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Or after giving it some personal thought, you might discover personally for yourself that aiming to memorize a particular surah that really helps you to experience comfort and helps you to keep your faith through some really difficult challenges you face is a really meaningful and personally fulfilling goal that positively impacts you in your life. And that's an awesome goal too. Or you might feel that you're somebody who just really loves a challenge, and not only do you really want, but right now you are totally ready in your life to attempt to memorize the whole Quran. And again, that's an awesome goal as well. What I'm essentially trying to say is that I want you to know at the end of the day, however much of the Quran you choose to memorize right now in your life, please know that it doesn't necessarily make you more or less of a Muslim. You know, your spiritual journey, like your life journey, is a personal one to you. And there's no shame or embarrassment to be felt when attempting to memorize or to achieve anything positive with the Quran. So the number one piece of advice that I always really highly recommend to all my students when they're setting any Quran goal, including their Quran memorization, is that they take a very personalized approach. You know, even if you choose to memorize the entire Quran, for example, how you approach the journey, so what surah that you start from, in what order, and what process of memorization that you're going to use, etc., all of that should be personalized too. And that's why you're going to see throughout all my answers in this course, there is a theme of taking a very personalized approach that I always strongly emphasize. Because you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gifted the Quran to all of us Muslims, knowing that we're all just so different, not just in our interests and our abilities and the way we like to learn and operate, but in simple facts of, you know, us being at different stages in our life, that we all have different responsibilities and different tests and struggles that we face. So we must be considerate of ourselves in the process, inshallah. Otherwise, you know, if you set a goal that isn't yours, that isn't personal to you, then you need to know that you are far more likely to experience more difficulty and struggle in that pursuit. And not only are you more likely to give up sooner or later, so less likely to accomplish that goal, but you're also going to increase your chances as well of acquiring some really bad negative emotional baggage along the way, whether that be in your self-esteem, your limiting beliefs, or any negative emotions that you kind of either consciously or unconsciously associate to your Quran journey. And that's going to undoubtedly affect and impact any future endeavors you pursue with the Quran, isn't it? So setting yourself personalized goals is something you should take the time to really gain crystal clarity on, getting very specific about from the get-go, inshallah. So do take some time alone, you know, preferably in a very peaceful place, I would say, to think and to ask yourself the following question. Ask yourself, what Quran memorization goal does my heart deeply yearn for or deeply need? What would bring the most comfort or significant benefit to my personal life right now? And when you're setting yourself a personalized Quran, you know, memorization goal, I'd strongly advise that everybody keeps the following fact in mind. And that is, please don't compare yourself to other people. You know, do the best according to your personal capacity. Because there's never any need for you to be compared with others on your Quran journey or in any aspect of your life even. You know, whether that comparison is coming from you yourself or the judgment of other people. And I know that's difficult to, you know, truly live by because we live in an age right now where this is a huge issue, particularly since a lot of people are using social media where these things have become amplified, etc. But, you know, the reality is that we have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, he doesn't compare us to one another. And that's illustrated in various different places in the Quran. So it's completely baffling why we keep insisting on doing so, subhanAllah. You know, personally, I think one of the most beautiful illustrations of this in the Quran is in a couple of verses in Surah Al-A'raf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks of the Day of Judgment and he talks about the scales that are going to weigh our good and bad deeds. And I'm going to give you a little bit of context here, inshallah, as well, so that you can better understand these ayat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat, he says that the scale, the measurement on that day is truthful and accurate. Meaning it's truthful in the sense that it's a reality. There's no doubt we are going to have our deeds weighed one day. And that it's also haqq in the sense that it's precise and it's completely justified. You know, this ayat, it suggests that all the judgment and all the justice that we have in this world is flawed in some way or another. You know, that there's some degree of inaccuracy, that it's limited or incomplete in some way. And if you just reflect really on everything around us, you'd kind of find this to be true because, you definitely find this to be true because, you know, justice, for example, it can often be served in accordance to whether you simply have a good lawyer or not, right? Or an argument between two people, it can be won sometimes just based on the fact, you know, someone's more eloquent and confident than the other person. And even if you look at the standards that we have in our society for kind of judging and weighing things, they aren't always fair either. So if, for example, if you look at the education system, right, that's a very clear example, you'll find that examinations that children take, they require all the children to score a certain percentage to pass. And that's regardless of whether it requires a lot of intellectual effort and study for the child to achieve that or not. I mean, we all know kids, right, who they plug in hours of studies and effort and they still seem to fail their exams, while others who are more naturally inclined, you know, who never ever pick up a book, yet they always pass, right? So all the effort and the struggle and the growth that that first child had to experience isn't taken into account or rewarded whatsoever. Only the end result is, and that isn't fair or just, is it? But you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about his judgment on Yawm al-Qiyamah, we're told that that judgment will be fulfilled in its absolute sense. That the very standards by which our deeds are going to be measured are going to be different. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something particularly fascinating about the scales on that day. And this is essentially what I want to highlight here in relation to the point that I wish to make. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. That for every single person for whom their scales become heavy, meaning in good deeds, he will live a pleasant life. Interestingly, Allah said their scales in this ayah and not their scale. The word mawazinuhu was used and not mizanahu. So the plural and not the singular form was used. And this is because on the Day of Judgment, each person will have multiple scales, subhanAllah, and not just a single one. You can think of these different scales as different sets of standards according to our individual predispositions. So we're going to be compared on the Day of Judgment only according to our own potential and our capacity, subhanAllah. Because we're all given different types of upbringing with different types of parents, right? We're all given different levels of responsibilities and have different tests and struggles in life. We all have different personalities, different strengths and weaknesses, isn't it? And all of these individual differences will be taken into account when weighing our deeds on the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He only ever really expects us to work in accordance with how He molded us and accordance to the life that He gifted us with. Not comparing to other people who have been molded differently to us and who have been given different lives as well. Now after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only you know yourself and your life best, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرَةٌ. You know, a human being is in full view only truly of himself. So only you alone can really determine what Quran goals are suitable, how much you're able to memorize, at what pace you're able to progress, and how to go about doing that, right? So for example, there's absolutely no comparison or no shame that should be made between someone who's dedicating 20 to 30 minutes of Quran time a day and someone who's dedicating 2 to 3 hours a day. When the first person is, let's say, a taxi driver working 20 hours a day to provide for his family, and the other person is a high school student, someone whose only responsibility other than attending school is just to cut the grass on the weekend, subhanAllah. And even then, you know, the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge that 30 minutes and that 3 hours is different. It won't be by quantity, but by quality. Because you know the word mawazin in the ayah can also be from the plural of the word mawzuna, which means the thing that is weighed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to gather the number of good deeds, their volume, but will judge according to the actual weight, the heaviness of the deed instead. And that is significantly different, isn't it? So we won't necessarily be rewarded by the amount of time we dedicate or the number of ayat we memorize, for example. But it's about the quality of our intentions and the real effort that we put in. So how we keep going day in, day out, consistently showing up and making progress with our Quran, despite the difficulties, you know, despite the self-doubt, despite the bombardment of criticism or comparison around us. It's about us pushing ourselves so that regardless of what's going on in our lives or how we feel, we're still choosing to show up and to exert ihsan, to exert excellence. It's about all the sacrifices that we're making in that pursuit as well. So it's the quality of our intention and our actions, not the quantity, which actually qualifies us for the help and the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember, regardless of whether you're working on memorizing every single day so that by the end of the week you've memorized a total of one ayah or one surah or one entire juz, they can actually potentially be equally praiseworthy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should you consistently remain sincere in your intentions and you consistently exert the very best of your efforts as you interact with the Quran, inshallah. And I know it can be quite a hard psychological adjustment for us to make, because you know, in this dunya, all we can judge in a really measurable way is the results of things, right? And we're conditioned to only think in those standards of pass and fail, or winners who come first and the rest are simply losers. You know, in this dunya, our efforts are basically not seen and they mean nothing. Whereas we're taught as Muslims, what really counts in the hereafter, when the real scales of justice are going to be brought forth, are not the results but the means to the end. You know, those sincere efforts, like I said, in pursuing our goals. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Najm, a human being will have nothing to their advantage except whatever effort they made, subhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He's the only one that ever really sees all the effort that we put into things in our lives. And He'll only ever compare that to the individual capacity that He gave us in order to really, truly reward us fairly. And that's just a beautiful and perfect justice, subhanAllah, right? And you know, as an important side note here, by the way, for those people who feel like, well, you know what, I don't think I'm living up to the potential that I know I can. I know I can be doing more if it wasn't for some external restrictions that I have in my life right now. So maybe for you, for example, you're a mom, you've got a couple of kids and they're really young and you're consistently having to attend to all their needs, you know, whether it's educational, whether it's physical and feeding them good nutritious meals, bathing and dressing them. You need to meet their emotional needs on top of keeping a clean house, etc. Just remember that not only did we say that you're going to be rewarded for that simple 15 minutes of Quran time that you consistently commit to and show up to every single day, according to those amazing efforts that you exert, where I know that you're, you know, gathering every tiny morsel of whatever little strength you have left in the day from raising a new generation of our ummah to really generate all the energy and the enthusiasm and focus and love that you possibly can when you engage with the Quran. But also know that we go through different stages in life. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. You know, and this stage in your life right now, it's not going to last forever. Your kids are going to get older and they're going to get more independent, inshallah. And you'll be able to set for yourself new Quran memorization goals. You know, your Quran time, it can and it will evolve over time. You just need to be patient with yourself. Remember, that's why we said that we're going to be judged in the hereafter in comparison to our potential and our capacity. Yes, the Quran goals that you set for yourself right now, they might not always necessarily reflect your full potential, but they should always reflect what you can do right now at your very best. And trust me, if you're always truly doing your very best within what's, you know, your personal capacity, then when the opportunity actually does arrive for you to do more, then that consistent training that you would have, you know, given yourself will make you ready to unleash whatever potential you feel that is still remaining within you, inshallah, with ease. And by the way, please don't let what you might think or you might perceive as a restriction right now in your life. So like your kids, for example, going back to that mother example, don't let that take away from your joy and your ihsan in raising your children in a way that pleases Allah. Because you have to understand, you are actually living the tafsir of the Quran, you know. You're trying to raise children according to the very legacy of the prophets and the righteous people that you're reading and learning and memorizing about in the Quran, aren't you? You're trying to implement what it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us to in those ayat you're memorizing. So there's no need for you to compare yourself to your neighbor who's got kids or another mother in your Quran class, even if she has the same number of kids that are the same age as yours. Trust me, you know, people's parental experiences can be very different. You know, people have different levels of support. People have different, you know, some kids are more challenging than others. The kids themselves, they have very different needs, etc. Now, does that mean that you can't be inspired by the other sister? That you can't reach out for some tips and ideas that you could possibly learn and benefit from to really get ahead yourself? No, of course you can. That's actually really healthy. You know, there's nothing wrong with looking at other people for inspiration and to desire to emulate them in good in order to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, you know, even if you look in Surah Al-Anbiya, you're going to find beautiful ayah towards the end of the surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks of Zakariya alayhi salam, asking Allah not to be left childless. And in those ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he responds to him by making his wife fit to bear the gift of his son Yahya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he beautifully describes one of this family's greatest traits being that they would vie with one another. They would compete with one another in good works.
وزكريا إذ نادى ربه رب لا تذرني فردا وأنت خير الوارثين فاستجبنا له ووهبنا له يحيى وأصلحنا له زوجة إنهم كانوا يسارعون في الخيرات ويدعوننا رغبا ورهبا وكانوا لنا خاشعين.
You know, just take note that the ayah is talking about competing and not comparison. And that's important to note because people mistakenly think of these two things as one and the same, when they're actually not. You know, comparison says, oh, that sister does so much more than me, you know, I'm such a failure. Or alternatively, on the flip side, it says, oh, you know, look at him, he never meets any of the hifth class deadlines, he must be so lazy. Whereas competition, on the other hand, it says, you know, I really hope that such and such brother or such and such sister brings their A game so that it really forces me to become better, inshallah. You know, comparison, it focuses on where you are now, while competition, it focuses on where you're going. There is a significant difference. And this is why our perfect deen, it permits very good, healthy competition, while it actually condemns comparison in a way that it will only make you ungrateful or that it can damage you, subhanAllah. Now, I understand that all of this can be quite a difficult mental shift to make, especially since we've been conditioned, as I said, with a lot of this consumer-based messages that we're unconsciously applying with our Quran relationship. You know, this idea of, like, for example, you know, go big or go home mentality when we set our goals. But just remember that all Quran goals, they are worthy and they are significant enough to pursue. Because bear in mind, you know, even if you're memorizing the entire Quran, that isn't actually the end of your Quran memorization journey. Because maintaining what you've memorized forever is just as much effort, if not actually harder, according to many Huffaz. Because just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran when He describes us human beings, we're very forgetful by nature. So it's going to be a consistent effort to retain that memorization. And then there's even more things to be learned after that too, whether that's directly related to memorization, like potentially memorizing the Quran in different qira'at, for example, or otherwise. Because there's so many other aspects of our dynamic Quran relationship that need to be learned and developed. And because the treasures of the Quran as well, they never cease. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us himself in Surah Kahf, when he compares the inexhaustible words of the Quran to the ink of the sea, subhanAllah. You know, despite this never-ending reality of learning and achieving goals, we still pursue Quran memorization, and just generally in our life, we keep setting ourselves goal after goal after goal, because the truth is that the real goal of any goal is actually progress, isn't it? And alhamdulillah, progress is always progress, regardless of how big or small. And subhanAllah, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise and the most merciful, teaches us that He actually loves, isn't it? The deed done consistently, the progress we continue to make in our lives every single day. Okay, so with all that said, I hope that you can see that when we set Quran goals, it's really important to have a heightened sense of self-awareness, inshallah, of who you are, your lifestyle, and ultimately what is your very, very best. You know, having high levels of self-awareness is also going to help prevent you from falling on the other aspect or other side of the spectrum, where people actually make excuses for themselves based on, you know, they make excuses for all the kind of lack of progress they make with the Quran based on who they say they are or the circumstances that they say dictate their lives. So for example, there are some people who say, well, you know, I'm a full-time mom, I never get a minute to myself in the day, let alone any time to engage with the Quran at all. Or, you know, I work two very busy jobs to make ends meet, so it's totally impossible for me to have any relationship or to develop anything with regards to my Quran friendship. Because, you know, this isn't true either. The reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gifted the Quran to everyone, knowing that we are all in need of it and we can all benefit from our interactions with it, despite all the different circumstances and personal differences. Knowing that we're all capable of building some type of meaningful relationship with it. Because regardless of everything in your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He didn't put a burden on anyone except that He knows that they can bear that burden. You know, except according to that person's potential. So we shouldn't underestimate what we're capable of on the flip side either. Just remember, on the Day of Judgment, we might not be compared to other people, like we've said, but we're still going to be compared nonetheless, right? We're going to be compared to our own potential, the capacity with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. We're going to be compared to the best version of ourselves that He subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to step into and to step up to. The unfortunate reality is that, you know, a lot of us human beings, we make excuses a lot, right, in order to make life easy for ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرَهُ وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَاذِيرَهُ. You know, that human beings, we have a very good view. They have a very good view of themselves, even though they present all kind of manners and excuses. So yes, you know, choose to no longer damage your self-esteem and impair your progress by comparing yourself to other people as you move along in your Quran journey. But don't ever refuse to compare yourself to what you are capable of at any one time. And you can practically do that by sincerely asking yourself on a regular basis questions like, you know, am I really doing my very best right now? Is my best possible self showing up to my Quran time? And you know, I also understand that sometimes we set ourselves goals that aren't really proportionate to our capabilities, not just because of out of laziness, but sometimes simply because we suffer from low self-esteem to begin with, right? We have very some pretty harsh opinions of ourselves too. And I know from experience of coaching and working one-to-one with hundreds, alhamdulillah, if not thousands of individuals over the last decade, that many people do unfortunately possess a lot of limiting and disempowering beliefs, you know, whether that's about their potential or their abilities or their worthiness. And although we're going to touch a bit more on that, inshallah, in a later question, I want to make it clear here that not only are these kind of negative thoughts going to stand in your way of success, but often in no way do they actually mirror the beliefs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds of us regarding the immense potential and capabilities that He lovingly created us with. And that's why I encourage people, you know, regardless of your inhibitions, to have an ambitious mindset when it comes to your spirituality and in particular your relationship with the Quran. Just as you're naturally going to have, you know, an aspirational or an ambitious mindset with anything in your life, whether that's your studies in your careers or for your health, for your family and your kids, etc. You know, to be positive and ambitious, particularly when it comes to our faith, we find that it's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He encourages us to be within the Quran in many different ways. For example, if we look in the Quran, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a multitude of different occasions, He showcases for us the very aspirational outlooks and mindsets that our role models, the prophets, peace be upon them, and the righteous souls that are mentioned in the Quran, that they had in their relationship with Allah. And that's evident if we were just to look at their words and their actions and to really learn and emulate from those. And within the Quran, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, He directly teaches us very aspirational du'as to supplicate to Him, isn't it? And if you look in the Quran, you'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that positive expectation of us to have a deeply profound and beautiful and meaningful relationship with Him through the words that he shares with us, whether that's His orders or His promises or thought-provoking questions that He uses. So for example, He asks us to listen to the Quran attentively, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He offers us His promise of helping those who wish to memorize it. He asks us questions about why we don't reflect more on it. He reminds us to act in accordance to the Quran's teachings, etc. All because of the positive, ambitious expectations He knows we're capable of striving towards in one way or another. So it's better for you to set goals, is what I'm saying, that are aligned more with the deeper needs of your heart and what you hope for from Allah. Of course, again, like I said, that are, you know, considerate of your capacity, like we said. But it's better to have goals that are aligned with that rather than in accordance to the lowly opinions that you might have of yourself. Now, when I encourage people to be ambitious in their Quran goals or, you know, in general or specifically with their Quran memorization, do I necessarily mean that they should quantifiably scale their goals? Well, you possibly could. But what I particularly mean by it, as we've already previously mentioned, you know, is scaling the quality of our goals through your intentions and your efforts. Because like we've already said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He values quality over quantity, right? And you can do this maybe every week or so when you're doing your Quran review, your weekly review, by simply asking yourself a question like, what one or two actions can I take this week to improve the quality of my intentions and my actions in pursuit of my Quran goal?
Okay, if you enjoyed and you benefited from today's video, then please subscribe to the Quran Rehab channel. And if you're interested in learning how you can build more emotional substance within your Quran relationship, how you can really start to fall in love with the Quran in a way that's practical and powerful, that's never been taught before, then make sure you check out the Quran Blueprint Masterclass at QuranRehab.com, inshallah. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.